Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Annie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. Can you start by just telling me, how did you find me or Organize 365 to begin with?
Well, I had read the Marie Kondo book, and then it kind of sunk in that my household and the disaster it was kind of a reflection of what was going on within me. That's what I took away from that book. And so then that kind of had me thinking, I really need to do something, but I had tried lots of things. And so I had discovered podcasts. So I was just searching and I found your podcast, and it's been a whirlwind ever since. So
I tell you what, I'm so grateful that Marie wrote that book, because she had more people thinking about their homes differently. And, you know, for some people, the book was enough. Like, they got their closet organized and that was all they needed. But for a lot of us, it just opened us up to, oh, okay, so I want to learn a little bit more. I find that people who listen to Organize 365, like, they like the podcast because they're researchers, they're questioners. Like, they want to know a little bit more first before they take the next step, and they're willing to invest the time and money it takes to have the transformation, but they need to understand what's going to happen along the way. So I totally resonate with that.
Exactly. Yes.
So tell us about your home. Who lives with you in your home with you?
So my husband, Scott, and I have three of my four sons are here. I have my 18-year-old, he just graduated, Noah, and Connor is a freshman in high school, and Oliver is a seventh grader. He is about to turn 13. So,
wow. So you're right about where I was when I started on my journey back in 2012. What was the reason, other than reading that book, like, why did you pick up Marie Kondo's book? Like, what was it that started you on this journey of getting organized?
So, interestingly enough, I had this earlier phase of my life where I actually did have a house cleaner, and I thought it was great, but it was really a disaster, because what was happening was I was taking everything and putting it in garbage bags and throwing it in the laundry room before the house cleaner would come. And so I didn't have a system for anything, and everything was just getting put in more and more garbage bags and thrown in a space to deal with later, and later never came. So I just never had like the steps to follow. And even after reading Marie Kondo's book, it was like, okay, great. And now what? And so I want to say that I started my organizational journey a long, long time ago. I just never got the footing. I always wanted to be organized, but I just didn't have the steps. And so that's really where you kind of came in and filled that gap with, here's what you do.
Okay, so tell us about that. Like, what time of year was it, and what did you do first?
So it was the spring, and the first thing I did was nothing. In fact, I just listened to the podcast, and my husband was, you know, like, just kind of looking at me like, our house is a disaster, and you're listening to this organizing podcast all the time. When am I going to see results of this? What is going on? And I was just like, I'm building my mindset. You can't see it, but it is happening within me. And so I would be doing my general household chores of, you know, unloading the dishwasher, folding laundry, driving places, and listening to the podcast. But I did not do any of the organizing for a long time. I just binge listened first. Mm-hmm.
When I was a professional organizer, so the book that's coming out right now, Organization is a Learnable Skill, is my story about 2012 when I was depressed and quit my job, and like, my whole world was as disorganized as it had ever been. And then I started a professional organization company, and I was probably 3 years in. So we're like 2015 at this point. Mind you, I've eliminated by that point 50% of what's in our house. Like, our house was very functionally organized. Now, Greg's mom is a perfectionist. I remember when the kids were little and she came over and I was folding laundry on the floor in the family room, and the kids are like jumping around, their toys everywhere. And she's sitting, you know, on the edge of the chair, And she's just looking at me like, fold something. Like, don't just sit there, play with the kid or fold something. And she said, she just kind of looked around the room. And then she looked at me. I said, well, this is what it was like, you know, when Greg and Jenny were kids, right? And she goes, no, never. And I was like, you can leave now. Like, it's just like, I'm never going to meet this expectation. So his mom and his sister are literally perfect. Like, their houses are functionally and Pinterestly organized. Like, it's an expectation I can't meet.
Right.
So I'm 3 years in. Our house is pretty much functionally organized. I'm being paid to organize houses. And Greg says to me, how much are you making per hour as a professional organizer? And I'm like, yes, he's finally interested. Like, he realizes I have a legitimate business. He wants to know about my business, my love language. Oh, Greg, let me tell you. I'm like, I make $50 an hour. He goes, great. Here's 50 bucks. Can you clean up the garage? And of course, like, Greg is not a chauvinist at all. Like, he was just kind of making a joke. But his expectation of what our house eventually will look like is perfect. And it's still not there. And you guys, my house is pretty doggone good. I mean, like, it's clean, it's organized. Like, it's never going to match what his mother's house looked like, because her house is a museum. My house is never going to be that way. So my husband did the same thing to me.
Yeah, it's crazy, but like, that was another piece, is that Pinterest perfect is that you gave us permission to let go of that. And I'm so much happier in a functional house where people can come and we can just relax and enjoy our space. And it's not a museum. I don't want a museum.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It is nice when your house is perfectly picked up and it looks great, but it lasts for like a millisecond. Like, even your own feet make feet marks on the carpet. Like, it's just not sustainable. It's not something right. that I can achieve anyway. So, all right. So you've been listening and listening and listening and listening. And then obviously you must start doing something. What is the first time that you noticed that something was organized that had not been organized before?
So it was the kitchen. I started with going, first I bought the Sunday basket, and then I went to the 100-day program, and I just started with the kitchen. And really, honestly, I've never gotten past the kitchen. I've done little pieces of things everywhere, but my kitchen has stayed the whole time. And the best part is that I know where everything is and I can tell everyone where it is. And it's great. Now, it does change because, as you mentioned, you know, you go through the rounds different times and certain mm-hmm. things. If there was an area that got a little disorganized, to me, then instead of saying, oh, I failed, it's, for some reason, I didn't make this a correct habit. Did I not make it a correct habit because I just wasn't putting forth the effort, or is it because it just doesn't work? And usually it's because it just didn't work and it needed to be, you know, something needed to be moved to a slightly different area. So that's really been eye-opener for me too, is when things don't work, it's because the system needs to be revamped. It's not necessarily because I failed. So if I don't make a successful habit, there's something hindering it, and finding out what that is really leads to getting the sustainable organizational systems.
And I love that you say habit, because it's so true. Like, I just read the statistic the other day. Oh, darn, I won't remember where it's from, but it's like 85% of how we spend our day is based on our habits. That's why it's so important that you change your actual habits, because we, as much as I say I'm a proactive and not a reactive person, like, human beings in general, we just live on autopilot. Like, it's really, really hard not to. Like, our brains are hardwired to live on autopilot so that it conserves energy, so that we can do more in the day, so that we aren't making so many decisions. And that's exactly right. It's your habits, and recognizing that your kitchen especially changes 3 times a year. Like, you cook differently 3 times a year. You're, you know, preparing for different kind of lunches, different kind of meals, just everything is different 3 times a year. And then knowing that, oh yeah, it's starting to get out of whack because I just need to go to my summer kitchen. I need to go to my fall kitchen. I need to go to my spring kitchen, and just make those couple of shifts and tweaks and move on.
Yeah, for sure.
So what has happened along this journey positively that you did not expect to happen?
A miracle. I completely feel like a new person. I embrace completely that, you know, your motto, progress over perfection. And that keeps me from, a lot of the times I would not do something because I had that Pinterest idea in my mind, and because I couldn't get it there, I wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I pay so much more attention to time. You talk about time in a lot of different podcasts and things, and that really resonated with me. I would put off tasks like unloading the dishwasher or cleaning the bathroom because I would just put it off thinking, oh, I just don't want to take the time to do it. I want to take the time to do it. So I set a timer and I timed how long the task actually took. So now whenever I start to think, oh, I don't want to clean the bathroom. Oh, you have 6 minutes. It takes 6 minutes to do the bathroom counter and stuff. But yet you can agonize over it for weeks.
Right. Just get it done. Just like move into that autopilot.
Right. And I just really feel like that the miracle too is that I can be an organized person, which I never thought could happen. And I'm not there yet, but I realized that I can get there and I will get there. So
that's awesome. Has your husband started to see the change as well?
Yes. he's starting to see the changes and he's starting to be more supportive in the belief that I'm actually going to be successful at it.
Yay. So is there anything else that was unexpected that happened during your organizing journey?
Yes. So I am an instructional coach. And so it was interesting how many parallels to the field of education and teaching that your program, that your podcast and everything really spoke to. So I kind of look at it like each round is like the formative assessment of what works and what doesn't. Reflect, make changes, move forward, see how it worked. If it didn't work, go back and change. And so it like really emphasized how that coaching cycles in my job really coincided with what your program was doing and the teaching and learning, which is why it really spoke to me because I also was a former middle school math teacher. So there's that as well, connection. And so I think all those things just coming together and seeing that it's all just helped me be a better friend, a better mom, a better instructional coach. It's just helped me in many, many, many areas. And I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. It sounds like you're a lifelong learner.
Absolutely. Yes.
100%. Yeah. So it's like I have a never ending university of content for you.
Yes. And the great part, and the other part that's so awesome about you and Organize 365 is that ability to think that if you're not ready right now, if some tornado comes up in your life, like you can just pick back up when you're ready.
Yeah.
And there's not like the, oh, you spent this money, now you've got to do this right now, or you don't get to do it. It's like you're very accessible all the time. And so that is what gives me that feeling of, I got this. You know, I don't know exactly what's coming up, but I know Lisa has a podcast or instructions on how to handle it. So it will be okay.
I love it. Now, you mentioned you have these three boys at home. Have any of them, have you noticed that they were organizationally inclined, or have any of them kind of followed in your steps of getting organized, or?
Not yet. I have the kids program and I really am going to try to do some things with launch with Noah as he's graduated now. And I told him to enjoy his last chance and time for me doing laundry because he's going to learn all those things. So I'm hoping, like you said, just be the model. I've noticed that there's some things showing up in the Sunday basket location, like the tickets to graduation are finding their way, you know, like important things are finding their way to that area. And they know you and they know your podcast, and it's just kind of a, you know, funny thing. Oh, mom's listening to Lisa. And so.
So this will have already aired by the time your podcast that we're recording today airs, but I interviewed Milana. She went through the launch program. She is a sophomore in college. And so when that podcast episode comes out, just kind of play it where the kids are. And then they'll hear her talking about like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed, what I was looking for. And then they might say, mom, do we have that? And you'd be like, oh, we already have it. It's right here. Like, yes, I already bought it. Like you can just listen to the whole thing. And maybe it, like just hearing her talk about it on the podcast from a college girl's perspective versus mom, that might work. Like, you know, I'm trying to get all the angles in there to get to the kids Absolutely. As much as I can. And we're also calling it the Launching Life Skills Bundle versus the Kids Program, which we're hoping that, you know, will help as well, because no one 18 wants to be called a kid. Like,
yes.
True. Yeah. Sure. Even starting at the age of 15, my kids, when we would go to Florida, they'd be like, we're not kids anymore. Like, grandma and grandpa keep calling us kids. I'm like, and they will when you're 50. Like, yeah, this is not changing. I don't know. Which they're calling us kids. Do you not notice that they call us the kids? You're just the younger kids.
I love that rebranding of the name. I think that's excellent, because it's really the truth. I mean, if you're lucky enough in elementary school to have teachers that kind of teach some of those organizational skills, great. Yeah. But for the most part, our kids are not taught those skills, and their lives are so fast and quick. And so it's a little less cumbersome because a lot of their stuff is digital, but it's still a mess. It's just a mess in the cloud.
Yes. And it's not just the papers. So in that, you know, launch portion of the kids program, we really talk about, how do you go from eating at home to eating on your own in an apartment one day? How do you create a budget for yourself? What about all the rental papers? What about, like, all those things that happen in your 20s that your parents in their 40s and 50s, like, did so long ago, they forget they even did them, and they might not have done them the way that they're done today. Like, I don't know. We didn't eat out as much. Well, maybe other people don't eat out. My children eat out all the time because I don't cook. And Greg makes a couple great meals a week, and we buy all the groceries as if we cooked from home, and we still buy everything out. You cannot, in your 20s, eat all of your meals out. You'll go broke within a week. Like, you just don't have that kind of cash flow.
Right.
And then it's like, yeah, it's been a long time since we made spaghetti without meat around here, but my entire 20s, that's what we ate, right? And so our kids are used to Greg cooking fillets on the grill. Like, you won't see a fillet unless you come to our house. Like, you will not buy one for the next decade. So
yes,
these are hot dogs. They go in a bun. These are what you'll be buying. Like, you forget. You get so accustomed to your parents' way of life.
So true. And talking about food, it made me think about how in my kitchen, the way that we've grown through the pandemic and the goals and the habits that we set were to go back to the family sitting at dinner and the meal. And then you talked about those transitional routines that kind of take you from work to home. And so mine was actually going to the grocery store and shopping for that one healthy meal that we were making through the week. And of course, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are our healthy meals, and my husband and I cook them. And then, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's, you know, we eat out and all the fun stuff. But it really has been, I've been able to do that because the kitchen is a workable space. You know, everything has its place and it's put away, and we can easily, you know, prepare meals. And
so are you saying your transition has been every day to leave your house, go to the grocery store, and come back?
Well, we've been in school for 5 days a week.
Okay.
So when I leave work to transition from work to home, I go to the store on my days to cook, you know, get the stuff, come home, relax. Sometimes I listen to music. Sometimes I listen to your podcast. Sometimes I don't listen to anything. And it's especially good when the recipe calls for white wine, because then I just have a nice wine and cook. And
so a little bit for you, a little bit for me.
Yeah. So it's been great.
I love that. That reminds me of something that I'm thinking about adding into my fall routine. So Abby's pregnant, and pregnant women should eat dinner. And Greg and I have gotten to the point, like, I'm almost 50, he's in his 50s, where we kind of don't eat dinner anymore. Like, we eat a really big lunch, but we're not really as hungry at dinner. And we've also realized that we don't need as many calories as we did. Like, when we eat dinner, we're like a pound heavier the next day. And like, that doesn't go away. It just keeps gaining. So we've really cut back to like a big lunch and then like kind of a snack for breakfast and like a snack for dinner. And that's enough calories for our sedentary lifestyle. But as I'm thinking into the future with Joey moving out, Greg makes an awesome Sunday dinner every other week when his mom comes over. And I was thinking, okay, well, you know, Abby's going to have this new baby. She's going to need to eat, and you're going to want Joey to come back to the house after he moves out. So maybe I'll make like a Thursday dinner. Like, I was already thinking, like you said, I could go to the grocery store, pick up what I need, make it. It could be like a weekday family dinner where everybody just kind of hangs out. I have a lighter day on Friday. I rarely have any meetings or anything heavy on Friday, so there's not a lot I need to prepare for. the kids aren't usually like going to go anywhere, whereas they'll miss a Sunday dinner or they'll miss, you know, they wouldn't miss a Thursday dinner. It's going to be a free dinner for them. Cause you remember in your 20s, like anytime mom and dad would pay for food, like we're there. And I thought, you know, I could make like a hearty spaghetti with garlic bread, or like, it doesn't have to be complicated, but something that would really, so that's a tradition I'm thinking about adding in the fall.
Yeah.
Just like with work, like I don't add a podcast unless I know I could be consistent. Like I'm really trying to purposely think about what are the traditions that I want to set up for our kids. Where, and I can imagine like 10 years from now, can I do like a Thursday dinner and we do a Sunday dinner every other week? Probably. Like, yeah, I probably can do that. Right. So looking to add that in. And Greg and I have been talking a lot about why do we do so much grocery shopping on the weekend? Like buy everything you need for Sunday and Monday. And then, yeah, we can easily stop at the store on the way home. It's not it's like we're so running home.
Much nicer for us to do that. That was one of the overwhelming things was going weekly. And of course, when the kids were little and you had three boys hanging onto the cart, you had to go down all the aisles.
Right.
You know, I try to order a lot of the stuff from the Walmart pickup and I do a lot of that, but I really enjoy just going to the grocery store and shopping for the specific items for dinner, knowing that I'm going to be making dinner for my family. Like there's something fulfilling about that. And then the other piece was when we found the recipes that we like, that were healthy, that were liked by most of us, I would put them in the Google Doc and put them in there. And so we have the family dinner, you know, so that way after about a month, now we can just go in there and repeat and then make the, it just goes so much quicker. And so now we're kind of at the productivity part, I guess.
Yes, totally. And, but that transition is so helpful, isn't it? Cause like, as you're shopping, you could still be thinking about things from school, you know, jotting down notes you want to remember for tomorrow, processing through your next day without, you know, ignoring the family. They're asking you questions because you're just shopping by yourself at the store. And then you get in the car and you're driving home and you're like, okay, I'm going to make this dinner. And then this show is on tonight that we're going to watch, or, oh, I need to run a load of laundry. Like you start to transition to like, okay, what does the family need for the next day? It's just, it's that thinking time where you're not like in school and those people are asking you questions, or at home and those people are trying to tell you about their day and you're not, like, it just gives you that buffer time that I really need.
Right.
For yeah. Sure. What do you think you have more of now, Annie?
Joy for sure. And confidence. I can have people over to my house. Like we had graduation and people were coming over. We ended up having our party somewhere else because of the rain that never stopped. But it was just great to be able to know that when the grandparents came over, they could just come in and there wasn't like a quick worrying about cleaning things up really quick. And I've never had that. And so it's just been nice to be able to have that relaxedness of having people over. And I know, again, that when things do go off the tracks, because they will, and those unexpected life events occur, you know, that I just know it's going to be okay. And I think I even said, like, my planner is my life. So, like, this is what tells
me
it's going to be okay. Like, it's with me all the time, like a security blanket. So I am, like, obsessed with the planner. And I don't even use it for the 100-day stuff. I don't even use it for that. Like I just use it for, I guess, because I was being a teacher and, you know, I have all my work stuff and anything that I'm working on habits for, that's all in there. Yeah. And so, I highlight it off when I've completed it and it's just, it's great. I just don't know what I would do without my planner.
Well, it's also a tangible representation of the transformation you're going through that is, I mean, you can see it in your house, but you can't see it to the extent that you can when you're writing down all those things.
Right. And, you know, you tell everyone to take pictures and it's such a big deal. And I know that when I submitted for this, I put both after pictures because I actually had a whole Google Doc of all my pictures of my kitchen and all the befores and after and all the notes of the things that have changed. And I took all these great notes. And then I was moving when I was organizing because I actually then took these skills to the digital side and I'm organizing my Google Drive and I'm bringing over stuff from my work to my personal. And somehow or other, the first part of those pictures and stuff, everything got deleted. And I spent so much time trying to recover it. But anyway, I finally let it go and just said, it'll be okay. But there were huge transformations and things that happened that just were unexpected. And, you know, I just took notes of those and then reflected on that, almost like journaling, like, like you said. And now I kind of just do it in here, and that's a little, that's more tangible. And like you said, I think some of the other members use their planner kind of as a journal.
Yes.
And I do like that.
Yes. I definitely use mine as a journal. That's why I actually made the quarterly workbox one for the subscription plan an actual journal size, because I just want to keep those over time. Yeah. Like I've kept the 100 days. What do you think you have less of now?
I definitely have less stress and anxiety. I 100% am more relaxed. Yeah, for sure. Stress and anxiety. I have less of that.
That's incredible.
And chaos. Less chaos.
Does your husband notice the less stress?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Because when you're calmer, everything's calmer.
Right. Right. You kind of like regulate the whole emotions and temperature of your household. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I often put on Instagram the fact that I only do dishes like two, maybe three times a week, which is ridiculous because dishes accumulate. Like as soon as I'm done with dishes, there'll be another glass there. But my argument is, no one else does them. Like it doesn't bother anyone else in the family enough that they actually do dishes. So when I get around to it, I do it because it clearly does not bother anyone else. Now, every other week, Greg will be like, I'm going to do the dishes. And I'm like, okay, great. And I come back in the kitchen. It's totally cleaned up. And that's great. And I always thank him because, you know, dishes are over in my category. Just like if I take the trash out, he says, thank you, because trash is over in his category. We divided chores 30 years ago. And so now we still say thank you whenever anybody does the opposite one. But that reduction of stress and anxiety that I hear over and over and over again inside of these Wednesday podcast interviews, I wonder how much of it is actually like the reduction of stress and anxiety from the amount of work in an organized house is less than the amount of work in a disorganized house. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's the expectation that work will be done in a certain time to a certain expectation. That's all a mental change. Like, like not doing the dishes except three times a week. Like if you haven't, let's be clear. Most people are still going to go, that's crazy. You should do your dishes every day, but really try it. See what happens. Like well, it was really that big of a deal. They'd do it.
Yeah. Like I, like with your sheets thing, I'm the same way with my sheets. Like, you know, that's the least of my worries and it's not a big deal. And the same thing with dishes. And the big, another transformation that I had was the laundry day when we talked about doing laundry day. And one of the, and that's the same thing with the dishes. Like there's always another piece of laundry.
Always.
So I would get discouraged and it would just be like overwhelming. Well, then it became, cause I could never get it complete. You know, you could never be complete. But when I knew I was going to do it on Wednesday and Sunday, then anything that came, you know, after I had finished on Wednesdays, it was no big deal because Sunday. I knew it would be taken care of on Sunday. And the kids knew that if they needed something before those times, then they needed to have it, you know, in the laundry room by those times or else it wouldn't get done. And then that just helped me compartmentalize laundry and be able to check it off. Yes, I did it on Wednesday. Yes, I did it on Sunday and not worry about the extra items piling up.
Yeah. You're not doing less laundry now than you did before. I'm not doing less dishes now than I did before. I think it is the expectation that we would try to have this 100% clean and organized home at all times. No, laundry is going to be done on Wednesdays and Sundays. And dishes are going to be done in my house, usually like Tuesday, Thursday. And I do them twice on the weekend sometimes, like whenever it needs to be done, that's when it gets done. And I think that's where some of the stress and anxiety reduction comes from, not necessarily less work to do.
I agree.
Yeah. Because I, you know, most people say they have rejection and stress and anxiety. And I'm like, okay, it's got to be more than just the organizing of the house. Because if it's just the organizing of the house, then you would get it from other programs.
Yes. And remember, I told you I've only made it to the kitchen.
Yeah, right.
It's not like the other areas are organized. There might be like a door here that's organized or a place here that's organized or a closet here that's organized. But for sure, it's just completely the mindset because I still have a lot of disorganization going on.
Well, and I love that you brought that up again, because I think we're never all going to get it all done. Like, even if you get through the 100-day program, like how many times have I gotten through it? I wrote the thing. Well, now Abby's having a baby. We had to clean everything out again. Or I don't like my Christmas tree. So now that has to go. Like, it's a constant coming and going of stuff. Like the stuff continues to come and go all of the time. You can have snapshots in time where you get close to being all the way organized. Like if you've just moved and you decluttered, but then give yourself 6 months and stuff will creep back in again.
Right.
And it's learning to live with that, like learning to live with that tension in a more healthy way with habits that support the amount of decluttering you want to have on a regular basis.
Yeah. And that's when you talk about the phases of life, I think that was a huge part of a aha moment for me. It was like, this is, you know, where you are now, and this is where you were. And that's why this was so difficult. And like the phases are so once you understand them, it just makes such a big difference. And I know there'll be another one coming up, and then being proactive about it in the sense, like you were talking about grandbabies, you know, my oldest is 27. And if and when we have the grandbabies, then I want to have like some traditions and things, you know. So I've been kind of taking notes of what other people are doing for their traditions and what things will be meaningful, because I want to be more about giving my grandkids and my kids experiences and not stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. And I think too, like you're an educator also, like when you think back on your children, like you have four children. So like after the first one, when you have a three-year-old, which is in the why phase, you feel like they're going to ask you why for the rest of your lives. And then when you notice that goes away and the second child asks you why, you're like, okay, I've got 6 months of this. You're like, okay, I'm going to be answering why for 6 months. And you just kind of go with it versus trying to have them stop asking you the question why, which does not work. Then they want to know why you want to stop them asking why.
This is why when you get to having your third and your fourth child, and even more, we could probably ask Monique, but then you just kind of are more relaxed because you know what's coming and you're just kind of like, okay, this will be fine. This is what happens.
that understanding of the phases. Okay, this is normal. I'm 40 and I want to get rid of every single thing that's in my house. This is normal. I don't have to move into a tidy house. I could just pretend I'm moving even though I'm not moving. And then I will feel better. Like it's a phase. It's just a phase of life. Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
I just wish that I would have. I know everyone says this and it's true, you know, that we wish we would have found you sooner, but yet we found you at the time we were supposed to find you. So, but I do wish that I would have had my mom. Bless her. I love her to death, but I am so much like her. And I wish I would have had like that example, like all along, and I would have learned it along the way. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for with my kids, you know, is that they're kind of picking that up so that that will help them and they won't, you know, have to crash and burn like I did a lot of times.
I can relate. And what is your next step now?
So I would like to actually get through the 100-day program. I keep telling myself until I get through that, I'm not allowed to earn or go to All Access, but I might change that. I don't know. I was like, I've been going through the steps and like, you need to do the 100 days and then go All Access, but I don't know. I'm ready to go All Access, I think. So.
Awesome. And what advice would you give to someone who's just getting started?
Listen to the podcast. Binge listen to the podcast. Don't worry about doing anything. And also, when I first started listening, I tried to write all your words, like write everything down,
you know,
and teacher and taker of notes, you know. And then I learned that no, just relax, listen, and then you'll pick up little tidbits. And you know, one great thing about it is you can re-listen to it, and then as you've mentioned before, you'll take something different from it at each different juncture of your life. And that's the same with planning day. You've told people or I think are there doing what I was doing when I first started listening to your podcast, where they're trying to get all the information. It's like, no, just take your coffee, take a drink, relax, take it all in. You can go back and pick up the pieces. You're not going anywhere, you know, show up at the next planning day, you'll take something else. And so that's what I would tell people. Start where you're at, start listening, you know, do a piece here. You don't have to buy anything. I didn't do anything but listen for a whole year at least. And so that's what I would tell people. Just start.
Because there's a lot to learn. I mean, I'm not done organizing. And I've been organizing my whole life. The company's almost 10 years old. And I'm still like, oh yeah, I could do it this way. Oh, I could tell them this. Oh, I could try this. Oh, I could. I mean, we're done making products. We don't have any products scheduled to come out. Like the products are here. Like there's there's not going to be more like, oh, now I realize that we need, I don't know, a TV box. No, there's no other major product that you need in order to get organized. It is just the implementation, like the understanding, the changing of your mindset. You do need a couple of things. Make your own Sunday basket, make your own binders. You do need a couple of organizational pieces. And then it's doing the work and making it work for you and going through all of the seasons and then all of your phases and continuing to edit as you go through.
Yes. And the workbox. That was the other piece that I'm doing next too for starting the school year. I've already started taking notes of what my big items are and how to divide them up and have that ready to go for next year, as well as with the teacher workbox. So,
Annie, I'm so excited for your transformation. This is going to be so fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the Organized 365 podcast.
Thanks for having me and thanks for being my coach.
You're welcome.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organized 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.